Please pray with me as we begin. Dear Lord, you are the God of hope. Through hope, we find the strength to go on even when things are tough. Teach us about that hope. Show us your love. Enable us to understand your words as we read them in the Bible. We ask that you would reveal yourself in your word and in us so that we may live for you today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to just sit and talk a little bit this morning. We're starting a new series for the summer. It's called Barefoot Belief. Do you like to go barefoot? And if you'd like to go barefoot, all those little piggies got smiles up there. When you take off your socks and your shoes, you can really feel what's underneath, right? And hopefully it's not Lego. You ever walked on a sandy beach and felt that warm sand coming up between your toes? That has a great feel to it, doesn't it? I remember one time, though, playing frisbee with my brother and some friends and ran down into the ditch in front of our place, and it had this really black, gooey mud. And I remember running through it in bare feet and the mud squishing up between my toes. You could really feel that, and I remember it all these years later, I think, because of the sensory experience of getting my toes down into it. It wasn't a very pleasant feeling, but the mud was touching my skin, and there we were. As we study together through this series this summer, we want you to kind of get your toes down into it. We want you to be able to feel the texture of what we're talking about. We want to run barefoot through a lot of those topics, so those things that kind of hang over us, things like doubt and fear and anger and hate, pride, anxiety, depression, loneliness. You might wonder, does the Bible really talk about those kinds of things? It really does. And when you're going through some hard times, I think you might have the question, you know, does God really care about how I'm feeling? You know, I think in church we can get the impression God only cares about what we think. You know, what do we think? What's our doctrine? What's our stance on something? But does God really care about how I feel when I'm going through stuff? I think the short answer to that is yes. So I want this to be a bit of a conversation of sorts. I want you to be able to interact in this. I want you to be able to suggest some questions for the series, and we'll try to fit them in as best we can. I want you to be able to give feedback or join into the conversation. You may not be aware of it, but you'll find listed on your bulletin for the first time this morning the fact that we're now on Twitter, we're now on Facebook, we're in a number of different places where you can participate in that discussion, and we encourage you to do that. If you have a question or something you'd like me to put into this series, try to do that in writing for me. I have a brain like a sieve, and I will not remember it otherwise. and please remember to play nicely with others as we go through discussions and conversations. Of course, I know you will. I'm going this way for summer because I'm the kind of person who likes things kind of broken down so I can see how they work, to see all the parts of it. You know, it's one thing to talk about God and how he works in some pretty general terms, but I need specifics. I don't know about you, but I don't want platitudes. I don't want generalities. I want specifics. I want the real thing when I'm learning about God. So we're starting today with the subject of hope, which is, I think, the opposite of many of the topics that we're going to be talking about. And I want to use it as kind of a counterbalance. You know, this is something we can come back to over and over again through the series as we go through. Hope is always there, and we want to be able to come back to it as we look at all these other subjects. You know, I get the sense that there are a lot of people who are feeling a little bit helpless right now, maybe overwhelmed, or maybe even a little hopeless, especially younger people. You know, I was talking with my daughter not too long ago about the crushing weight of student debt, you know? It's something you're hearing about in the media quite a bit. You know, the fact is that she may not ever own her own home because of the weight of student debt that she carries. And it may never come true for her like it did for us that she'll own a home. And that's true for so many others. I was reading a statistic yesterday that Americans owe over $1.56 trillion in student loan debt. And that's spread out over 45 million borrowers. Now, to put that in perspective, that's $521 billion more than the total of U.S. credit card debt. That's a lot of money. The average student owes about $30,000, and the average parent loans to support it are about $35,000, plus interest. Did you know that a medical or a law student can come out on the other side of their degree owing as much as $500,000 or more? Can you imagine? $500,000. This is crushing, and it can lead to hopelessness. Last night we were watching the news, and there was a student on there talking about how he's read on Facebook students who were even considering suicide as their only way out. That's hopelessness. That's a loss of hope. John Grisham wrote his last novel about this very topic, about a student who took his life because of student debt. So you want to believe that this is going to be a campaign issue in the next election, right? Well, the things that we see and the things that we hear in the media and you know, on television, it's not always good news, is it? But I think sometimes what, you know, when I see these things, sometimes it leads me to a point where I'm doing a lot of self-reflection. I'm talking to God, about why is this and what about my part in this and, I think it can drive us deeper into our faith if we allow God to lead us in that way. But, you know, we don't often react that way. We often make enemies. We make the media or we make the internet our enemy. We blame them for our problems. But really, what they're doing is they're reflecting the problems that we already have. They just drive us a little deeper into anxiety. We don't need any new enemies. We need hope in our lives. We need hope to be able to deal with our hurts and the problems that we go through every day and all that anxiety that comes up. I want to take a look at a verse in the book of Romans this morning. It's a kind of blessing that that Paul uses in Romans in chapter 15. In this chapter, he started off by building up the people, right? And he's saying, well, you need to love and lift up your neighbors. You need to love and respect one another for the sake of Christ. And he talks about the promise of Christ to the people of Israel and how God fulfilled that through Jesus, the Messiah. And so then he finishes up this little exhortation with a blessing. You might often have heard this piece used as a benediction at the end of a service. Here's how it reads. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, the verse, I think, tells us some things about God, some things that we need to know. And I think, first of all, what it tells us as we look at this is that we worship God, yes, but as we're worshiping God, we are worshiping the God of hope. Starts off, may the God of hope fill you. That's an important thing to know and remember. He is the God of hope. The word for hope that is used here means expectation, like when we're expecting something good. You ever ordered something that you really, really wanted? Maybe you order it on Amazon, you're waiting for that two-day delivery to happen, and that box arrives on the doorstep, and you're all excited, and you anticipate what's in the box. You're excited about it because it's something you really want. It's something you're looking forward to enjoying. See, that's the kind of hope we're talking about here. Hope can also mean, in the Bible, waiting for positive change. Something's coming, and you know it's going to be a good thing and that it might change your life. You know, you're anticipating this positive thing. That's hope. And hope is also anticipating relief. You know, sometimes we go through things that need relief. You have a nagging pain, for example, and God willing, that medicine that you take is going to relieve that pain, or that it's going to subside within a couple of days. Or you have a physical condition that needs to be corrected by surgery. You anticipate relief through the surgery. Or maybe it's an emotional burden that you're carrying. Hope anticipates relief. Hope is waiting for God to turn that ashes of your life into gold. We worship the God of hope. You know, for the people of God, people of Israel, the coming Messiah was a place of hope. It was God's chosen one that they were hoping in. And you know, in the New Testament, a lot of the times where it uses this word hope, it's actually referring to the coming of Jesus and the incredible change that's going to happen after he comes. We worship the God of hope, and we look forward, we anticipate the arrival of Jesus again. Well, not only do we worship the God of hope, our hope actually comes from God himself. If we go back to the passage for a moment here, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, not only do we worship the God of hope, he's the source of our hope. All of our hope comes from him in terms of our faith. Hope and trust are kind of kissing cousins, aren't they? How do you learn to trust God? How do you trust God? What makes you trust God? What does he provide for us that helps us to trust him? What gives us the ability to trust? You know, I think a lot of us have trust issues. You know, we don't trust what we read in the news. We don't trust a lot of the things that we see, the things that we hear. For some of us, our trust has been broken in relationships. Our confidences might have been betrayed, or maybe our relationships didn't turn out the way that we had hoped or the way that we had expected. Why should we even try to trust God? You know, what does God provide for us so that we can trust him? And how does it come from God? Well, I think first of all, we have, as we open up the Bible, we have the history of God's people, which shows us about how we can trust. You know, in the Old Testament times, God gave his people every reason to hope in him, every reason to trust in him. And they would do that for a little while, and then they'd fall away, right? Then they'd come back for a little while, and then they'd fall away. But you know, some people got it. Some people did get it, at least most of the time. Psalm 33 says, we put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. Let your unfailing love surround us, Lord, for our hope is in you alone. Also, our own experiences help us with hope, don't they? Our own experience with God. We've prayed. We've seen answers to prayer. We know what God's done in our lives in the past. And so our hope isn't based on wisps of smoke. It's based on solid, hard experience, the things that we've gone through. You know, the people of Israel weren't very good at remembering that. You know, God had done so many amazing miracles and things in their lives, and yet, you know, 6 months down the road, they were off, tootling off on a side path. They weren't following God at all. But our experiences that we have with God, they lay down a pathway, and they help us to know what to expect. You know, if I could trust God then in that experience and God came through, then that means I can trust him now because God is consistent. Then there's also the experience of people around us. I love talking to seniors who have a long history of faith, and by seniors, I mean people older than me, people who have been in faith longer than me. And their experiences of God over a long period of time, they're not just good stories to hear, even though they are great stories, but they're good reasons to believe, good reasons to trust God. This may be different reading taste for you, but one of my favorite books is by Stephen King. It's called The Stand, and it's a book he wrote about the apocalypse. And I've read it several times through the years. It's a huge book, but one of the things that draws me back to the story over and over again is the heroes of the story. You know, the the main hero of the story is an old woman named Mother Abigail. And she's a black woman who lives by herself on a sharecrop farm. And she has outlived all of her family. They've all died off, even her children. She's outlived all her children and all her relatives, and she's all alone living out there in the country. But one thing she does is she sits on her front porch and she reads her Bible constantly. And she talks to God, you know, just talks to him. And her faith is just amazingly strong. And so in that story, when the Antichrist is defeated at the end of the story, it's inspired by the faith of Mother Abigail, who teaches others how to defeat the enemy. Well, in real life, we know a lot of older Christians who have kept the faith for many, many years. Many, maybe at times they've stumbled, maybe they've backed up a little, but you know, they've always gotten up again, and they've always gone on, and they've kept the faith, and they kept coming back to Jesus. And you know, a lot of those saints are part of this body of Christ right here. Ask them about their faith experiences. Ask them about those times that God came through and answered those prayers. They have stories to tell, I guarantee you. We worship a God of hope. We realize that our hope comes from the Lord, based on the stories of his people in Scripture, based on our own life experiences, and based on the experiences of other people that we know. Well, there's one more thing I think we realize that we need if we really think about it. We need a hope that's bigger than our hope, right? We need a kind of supernatural hope. On our own, I think we can easily lose hope. It's easy to become hopeless. And I think deep down, hardwired into our consciousness, is an understanding that we need God, that he's our only hope. Not Obi-Wan Kenobi. Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope. No, God is our only hope. I think one of the reasons that we enjoy this whole thing about superheroes in movies right now has to do with this need for hope. I think deep down we all hope that somebody's going to come and rescue us when we get into trouble. So we dig into adventures of Iron Man and Superman and Spider-Man and the Avengers and all these things. Our movie heroes remind us of the need for someone other than ourselves. Israel had that consciousness, but they forgot a lot. And so, in a powerful lesson, God took the prophet Ezekiel and he took him to a place of desolation. I want you to listen for a minute to the story of the Valley of Dry Bones. It's in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very, very dry. And he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." And then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord.' And so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live.' And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life, and they stood up on their feet, a vast army. And then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back from the land of to the land of Israel. And then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. And then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. Over and over, he says, I'm going to put my breath in you. I'm going to breathe on you. This wind will come into you. The word here is in the Old Testament is ruach. This is the word for spirit, and it it's most used for God's spirit. In the New Testament, there's another word. It's pneuma, but it means the same thing. It's the spirit of God. If you go all the way back to the Genesis account, you know, it talks about God forming the body and then breathing this breath of life that's part of his own spirit into human beings to make us live. And God said to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones, they're the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're all cut off. You ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like that? You feel like dried up. You feel like your faith is kind of withered up. You feel disconnected from God. You feel cut off. God promised his people that, like these old bones, he was going to put flesh back on his people. I brought Uncle Harry in again today. Last time I brought Uncle Harry, Bill said there was a family resemblance, and I failed to see it till I got a haircut. God said he was going to take these old, dry, withered up bones, and he was going to put flesh back on them. He was going to put muscle back on them, and he was going to raise them up, and then he was going to breathe his spirit into them, and he would bring them new life. You know, at the time, Ezekiel is talking to his people, and God is talking to his people through Ezekiel. This is figurative, although it has, you know, eternal implications as well, right? God will raise us up. God will breathe new life into us here on earth. But then there will be a time when God will raise us up as well, and we'll be with him forever. Let's go back to the text again for that blessing. Let's see what it says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I think we're a lot like Israel a lot of the time. You know, we come and go in our faith. Sometimes our faith is super strong. Other times it's not very strong. Sometimes we're following pretty close. Other times I don't think we follow so close. But we need hope like they did. If we don't have hope, we perish. Without hope, our faith dies. But we worship the God of hope. And so we want to be filled with all the joy and all the hope that we can get, right? Don't you want to do that? That's how I feel. He says one thing. Trust him. Trust him. Now, we've talked about faith several times recently. And that faith doesn't have to be huge bucket loads of faith. Faith is tiny as a mustard seed can move mountains, Jesus said. God will meet you where your faith is. And God will meet you at your point of need. He knows what you need. He understands what you need. And he'll meet you at that place. So the question is, do you want to overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit? I know I do. Then we should ask for it. He's offering. Why don't we just ask him? Why don't we open our hearts to it and ask God to do that in us? He's offering. Why don't we receive his blessing? I think, like these dry bones, let's receive his spirit. Now, you have his spirit if you're a believer. If you believe in Jesus, if you've received him as Lord and Savior, this is the Son of God who died for us in our place on the cross. And this is the Son of God who was raised on the third day, this promise of eternal life for us. But I think sometimes we need a fresh touch from God's Spirit. You ever feel like that? I just need this breath of God to fall on me. We sang some of this morning about the Spirit of God falling on us. Why don't we pray together? And why don't we ask God together for that fresh touch, for that fresh experience of his Spirit? And it's at one point in the prayer, I'm just going to stop and let you talk to God for a moment in your heart. And we'll just receive what God wants to bring us. Let's pray together. Lord God, we need hope. I know sometimes I feel all dried up inside, like these old bones we're talking about. Sometimes I feel like my faith is all used up and withered away to dust. I need hope. This little bit of faith I have sometimes, this morning I want to place that in you, Jesus. And I ask that you would reveal yourself to me and make me new again. You are my Lord and my Savior. Holy Spirit, fall on me now. Breathe new life into me. Fill me with you. Change my heart. Give me hope so that I can continue to do your will in this world as long as you need me to. Holy Spirit, fall on me. Blow fresh wind through me and into me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this touch of your breath, for this touch of your Spirit. We trust in you to renew our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. According to the scriptures, you may have begun as a pile of old bones, but God has raised you up as an army. Not to fight physical wars, but to fight spiritual battles. We're prepared. When we submit, God will fill us. What we submit, God fills and empowers to do what he calls us to. Just a reminder, during this final song, we're going to be taking a separate offering just to cover the cost for the quiz team this year.